We've all had the experience of mindlessly eating some sort of junk food while we're watching TV or doing some other activity, right? And somehow, after some moments pass, you realize, like, the bag is empty or whatever. You're like, huh, like, it didn't occupy any of my thoughts almost while I was doing it. And now there's this, like, dissatisfaction of, like, I feel terrible, right? Like, there's a difference between being 38 and eating a bunch of cookies or being, like, 12, right? Like, it feels a little different when you're done. And I think we've all had that experience, right? Mindlessly eating and ended up not satisfied at the end. I don't know, in a room like this, how many of us have had the experience of eating, like, a brand new, right off the vine strawberry. I've got a picture here from my garden from yesterday. How many of you guys have had a strawberry that's, like, right off the vine? Some of you guys have. Lots of you, actually. That's great. So, these are not quite ready. If you went to my house in a couple of days, you probably could swipe them and they'll be ready, right? But when you grab one of those strawberries, you put it in your mouth, like, it's just so different than, like, Hy-Vee's produce aisle or whatever, right? Like, there's, like, levels of flavor, right? Like, bursts with, like, a whole bunch. It occupies your whole thought process, right? And, like, I probably have a dozen or so little strawberry plants, but they don't produce all that much very quickly. So a lot of times I'm eating one at a time, and that's it, right? But it's like an event, and, like, there's this, like, at the end of it, like, there's, like, not like I'm totally full for the day or something, but there's, like, a satisfaction of, like, that was good, you know? There's never, like, oh, I didn't even notice that I was doing that, right? There's always, like, oh, that was so good. I'm excited for those green ones to turn red or whatever, right? A lot of us have an experience in life where maybe we're going through a whole lot, but our mind's never, like, fully engaged, and we don't have a lot of feeling of, like, oh, that was good. Like, savor moments, right? It's kind of just, like, plowing through and then, like, vague regret occasionally, right? Like, that's how a lot of us live, right? So I'm going to read us a passage of Scripture as soon as I get over there to my Bible. I actually left my Bible over there by Chrissy. So we're going to be in John 15. It's going to take me a second to get there. Thank you. Look at that teamwork, right? So John 15, starting in verse 5. And I love John 15. It's really good. You guys, yeah, it's great stuff. So turn there in your Bible. If you need a table of contents right at the beginning of your Bible, it'll tell you what page number to go to. Then we're looking for the big 15. That's chapter 15. And then the little tiny 5 is verse 5. So it's only a few verses here, but this is Jesus talking to his closest friends, his closest disciples, right before he gets arrested and dies for all of us, right? This is big stuff. As you guys are flipping there, it's always healthy before you read the Bible to ask Jesus to come and teach you. So let's pray. God, thank you for sending your Son to us. And by the Holy Spirit, we ask that Jesus would come and teach us right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So verse 5, Jesus talking here, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. There's a lot of amazing promises in there, but I heard somebody catch it. Like, there's something in there that's like, right? That whole withering thing and being fit for nothing, but picked up and thrown into a fire, like, that's a pretty intense thing to hear from Jesus, right? It doesn't take much of a leap to start thinking about hell and start thinking like, oh, like I don't want to think about any of it, right? And here's the even scarier thing when you're thinking about withering. And you think about your own life withering for a branch that falls off of a grapevine or whatever. Withering means there's a hardness that comes. Think about yourself. And think about yourself in your past and yourself right now. Is there a hardness coming on you? Withering gets at this idea of there's no new growth. There's nothing, there's no like new flower, new potential, new beauty. And if you think about your life, is your life the type of life where like you stopped asking questions or trying to actually grow maybe in the past, right? That's a sign of withering. When a branch withers, it gets dry on the inside, right? It looks better. I mean, it doesn't look great on the outside, but it looks better on the outside than it does on the inside. And for some of us, maybe there's some stuff on the outside that doesn't look perfect. But if you stop long enough to look inside, you see like it's drier on the inside. It's more cracked and messed up on the inside than it is on the outside. Right? A branch that's connected can't help but bear fruit, but a branch that's disconnected, like that whole process is stopped, right? And in your life, when you look at it, you think, like the stuff I'm doing right now, what's the like goodness that's going to come out of that, that's going to last, that's going to matter? And if you look at all, you know, if you're looking at yourself and it sounds like there's a lot more dryness, a lot more weariness, lack of growth, lack of new, lack of goodness, then it sounds a lot more like withering, right? And Jesus says, if you stay on that path of drying up on the inside, then you're going to be fit for nothing but the fire, is what Jesus says. I mean, that's not typical Jake Taylor sermon, right? But we can't ignore it when Jesus is saying it, right? But it's Jesus talking here. And when Jesus came down to earth, it wasn't to judge us. It wasn't to condemn us. It was to save us from the condition. Like that is our condition left to ourselves. Jesus' whole purpose is to make a change, right? Like you're here at this church today because Jesus has got hope for you. Like Jesus did all he could do to open the door for you, and he's got you here right now to tell you there is a real danger, but the rest of this passage is all these promises from Jesus. And the big thing for us to get right is to remain in him. It's right there in verse 5, right? Verse 5 is worth memorizing. It says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in them, they will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Like it's real cut and dry. There's one thing that matters. Now, most of us, as we go through life, it's easy to start to feel overwhelmed. You got money issues, you got kid issues, or family issues, or dating issues, or whatever. You got enough stuff going on, whether you're 11 or 92, typically people have a lot that they're concerned about, right? Like our heart's full of concerns, kind of no matter what stage of life we're in. And it can feel overwhelming, right? I have had my own share of jobs where I felt overwhelmed at my jobs. And some of those jobs, though, I had the benefit of having a really good boss. I can think of a couple in particular. And I can remember some of those moments where there's 12 things I feel like I got to do, and I don't have any clue how to get a couple of them done. I don't even have a clue how to get a couple of them started. And then several of them, I feel like I'm not going to be able to pull off very well. And you start to get overwhelmed, like, how do I do all 12 of these things? And in those moments, occasionally in those moments, I would have a boss come in and be like, Jake, do this. And they would tell me to do like one specific thing. And I can remember like the feeling of relief to have all those uncertainties like drop off and realize like there's only one thing I got to do right now. Like this morning or this next hour, I got to get this thing done, right? It was a huge relief to me. I love just, even if it was one of the ones that I didn't have any clue how to get started, it was such a relief to know I can let the rest of it go. And if I don't know how to do it, like then that's my only problem. I got to find some help because this is the one thing I have to get done. It was this huge relief to have a boss. There's been other times where I don't have a boss ever to come in and talk to me and tell me what to do. And that's a rough moment when you feel overwhelmed and there isn't somebody with authority to say this is the one thing that matters. Here's the thing about all of humanity. As we go through life, as you go through life, you never have to be stuck in that spot in your life where there is no legitimate boss, where there's no legitimate leader over you. Like when we say, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior, Lord's kind of a fancy older term, but it basically gets at this, you're the boss, I do what you say. Like that's basically what Lord means. So Savior is at that like good boss level, right? We've all had bad bosses that you just try to get away from. But if you've been blessed to have a good boss, you're like, oh man, that's a really good thing, right? Yeah. And so Jesus is telling all of us, like, I'm giving you your one thing to focus on. Like, here's the one thing that Rixie has to get right. Here's the one thing that April has to get right. Here's the one thing that Joseph up in the balcony, like, here's the one thing that you have to get right. All the other stuff, it's not that you're not going to have to work on anything else, but this is the thing to get right. And what is it? What does he say? Remain in him, abide in him, dwell with him. There's all these different words, but there's this idea that like if you're not close to Jesus, if you're not receiving anything from Jesus, then you can't do anything. So when you get up in the morning and you haven't had any interaction with Jesus, but you feel this pressure to be a good dad or to be a good worker or to be a good whatever, you're not going to do it well. If you don't open up to something from Jesus. Now, real life happens. You can't necessarily always take like an hour to go by yourself with Jesus or something. But there's never a moment where you can't open up in some way to Jesus. And we can set up our lives to where we're getting that relationship right. Right? Where we can say like, I've done something with Jesus today. I'm connected with him today. So I want to dive us into like a super practical, simple thing. I hope you guys were here last week. If you weren't, you can go back on Facebook and watch it, or you can read these verses we read beforehand. Last week, we were talking about this idea of read the Bible, but spend some time praying before you do. And we talked through how to do that. This is building on it. What we're going to talk about today is going to work better if you're already reading the Bible and praying and saying, Jesus, I want to grow. But if you've been doing that this last week, I want to give you another thing you can do. Because if this is our one thing to get right, then like it's worth focusing in on, right? It's worth saying like, well, let's have more than one strategy, right? Let's make sure to get this right. Because Jesus is saying like, you're going to make a difference in your neighborhood or in your family or where you work if you're close to me. Not if you have all the answers about addiction or not if you have all the money or not if you have blah, 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 blah. It's if you're close to me, you're going to make an impact that lasts, right? So, okay, this next slide. This is super simple. It's going to seem like, oh, Jake, this is your best idea, right? Like, but here's the idea is I'm going to push you towards a real simple practice of just, would you go for a walk each day with no purpose, but like I'm showing up trying to spend some time with you, Jesus, right? There's somebody in the room who loves their dogs, and they started walking their dogs as a way to also spend time with Jesus, and it really helped their relationship with Jesus, right? Okay, so what's special about going for a walk? Why does that matter? When you're on a walk, especially if you leave your phone in your pocket or you leave your phone at your house, it's hard to be very productive. It's hard to be unopen even. Like you're in the space of the walk, right? And typically if you're outside normally, not always, normally there's something going on with the sky or you see an animal or something like that, right? So what can happen on that walk? You're opening up space for Jesus to do the rest. When we think about Jesus and us in the relationship, like the burden's not on us to figure it all out. The burden on us is to show up and be open. Like Jesus can set the tone. Jesus can say what needs to be said. Jesus can make it fun or serious, like whatever needs to happen, right? So I want to tell you some personal things from me about what's it like to be withering and what's it like to start reconnecting with Jesus, right? Because I think that's where some of us are at in the room. I can remember times in my life, this is probably multiple times, but feeling like there's this ocean of responsibility around, right? I'm right in the middle of it. And there's these big waves of guilt. It's something that maybe runs in my biological family. We're kind of guilt-driven. And my kids are able to swim now, but they tread water more than real swimming most of the time. And I'm around them enough, like, man, treading water is work if you're just in a pool. You know, like, if you're in there for very long and you're treading water the whole time, like, you get wore out quick. And I know what it feels like in my life to have all this responsibility and all this guilt slapping around, and I just feel like I'm treading water, right? Like I'm working so hard to keep on top of all that responsibility, but it feels like I'm not going to keep my head above it forever, right? And then I know what it's like to spend some time alone with Jesus and realize, like, Jesus is the Savior, right? Like, I don't have to rescue everybody that I think needs rescuing, right? I can let go of some of these responsibilities that I've put on my own shoulder, right? Some of this is all interconnected, and some of this is repetitive because I struggle with the same stuff. I don't know if you're like that, but, like, there's some themes to my struggles, which Jesus is very patient. I can remember my wife, Chrissy, telling me, this was years ago, but this is not a great thing to hear from your spouse. Jake, you don't laugh anymore. You know, like, that's a, like, ooh, like, I think I'm unhealthy. Like, just that one statement, right? You're just like, ugh. And right around that same time, being around some people, some of whom are in this room, we were out camping, and I laughed, and it was my real laugh, which is really loud, and none of them had ever heard me laugh like that before. And these are people I'd known for years, but I'd gotten so serious because I was withering, right? I was doing a lot of good things, but somewhere along the line, like, the vibrancy wasn't there, right? Something was off. Well, what was off? So I don't know for everybody what's going to be off for you, but when you start spending time with Jesus, he will start teaching you about himself and making sure that you actually get it, right? And so for me, I can remember reading in Galatians and just having a fresh encounter with this verse in Galatians that talks about, like, because of what Jesus did, like, now in Christ, we're free from accusation. Like, this freedom that, like, Jesus has given us when we accept who he is and what he's done, like, the pressure's off, right? I don't know if this stuff's making total sense, so I'm going to leave it on the side for here in just a second, but here's what I'm trying to get at. It's like, we all have our ways that we get unhealthy. Even if you're trying to do the right thing, if you're not connected enough with Jesus, you're going to get unhealthy. So, like, maybe right now you're just, like, 3 days sober and it's all real clear what to do next to get healthy, right? But I'm telling you, like, no matter who you are, if you try to do the right thing for long enough, you're still going to be a mess. You know, like, unless you get this one thing right, you're going to be a mess. And along the way, if you get that one thing right, Jesus will keep fixing you, right? Like, the layers of brokenness in Jake Taylor, like, they keep getting fixed. Because if I will just show up to Jesus, like, Jesus will do the fixing, right? And the thing about Jesus is, like, along the way, he's going to demand some obedience. If you want to stay close to him, you're going to have to do stuff to stay close to him. But the relationship inspires the action. I don't know if I can fully get that across. But, like, when you're spending time with him, it starts to be like he only starts talking about one thing at some point. Like, every time I hang out with him, he wants me to apologize to my sister or whatever it is, right? And it's kind of like, until you do that, he's not moving forward, right? So that's how it works. Here, I want to talk to you a little bit about walking in our last few minutes here. So when you go for a walk, I got three super basic tips for you. Before I do those three tips, if you're here today, there's two types of people in the room that can ignore my stuff on walking. So who gets a free pass on that? There's some people at Maywood watching online, or some people in the room where, like, legitimately, like, walking is just really not an option for you. Like, that's true. That's where some of us are at, like, physically, right? And there's some people in the room that are like, Jake, I'm already ahead of this. Like, I already go for walks every day with Jesus, right? So I don't have anything more to say to you today, but I found an article from Richard Foster that I'm putting right there, and it's online. If you're watching online, you just scroll down just a little bit earlier this morning. I put a link to it. So if you're one of those special people, like, I've got that for you, of like, you can still grow in your time alone with Jesus. You don't have to walk. But unless you're already doing it, or unless you got a physical problem with walking, here's my three tips for you on walking. One is, when you walk, like, stay open, right? Try not to use your phone. Try to just be open to, like, God, what are you doing right now? I don't have any big agenda. Like, if you get anxious about something, ask for God's help, but try to just be open to what he wants. What does that actually look like? Well, like, on Friday, I was going for a walk. I went for a walk right around lunchtime on Friday, so it was crazy hot. But in the grass, the only animal I think I saw the whole time that was silly enough to be out there besides me was this little tiny white butterfly. And it went and landed, and it looked pretty, right? So, like, I did stoop down. I looked at it. It had, so the whole thing was about the size of a nickel. It was small. But it had on the back of its wing, because its wings were closed up, had this little tiny two little slivers of orange. They were probably like the size of my pupil or something, you know, like really tiny. And I looked at it, and honestly, it was super hot, so I didn't look at it for hours. I looked at it for about 5 seconds. But I just talked to Jesus about how pretty it was and that God had made it. And the reality is, with butterflies not living very long and not very many of us going outside because of air conditioning, I will probably be the only person that sees that butterfly, right? Like, that thing probably won't be seen by another person. It was just this little moment where, like, Jesus, that's great that you made it. And for me, who can easily get, like, stressed out and overwhelmed, like, it's good for me to take a minute and just be like, that's really beautiful that God made it, right? It's like, that was that walk, right? There's nothing, I don't have anything that I'm going to share that's my tips that are going to be, like, magical. They're not even going to sound that powerful, but here's where we'll talk about power here in just a second. So, a couple more quick tips for you. When you go on your walk, right at the start of it, say, Jesus, I want to spend this time with you. This morning, I went for a walk. I'm about to preach about going for walks. I made it all the way around. Like, I was a third of the way done walking around my block before I said, like, Jesus, I want to spend time with you, right? I was that distracted. So just try right off the bat, simple statement, like, Jesus, I'm out here because I want to spend time with you. Like, that's worth saying. That's worth even being one of my three tips of just say it simply, like, Jesus, I want to spend time with you right now. We have to open the door. He is a gentleman, and if we don't open the door for him, he's not going to force himself onto us, right? So, final tip for you. This one's real practical, but just right now, decide, are you going to do this in the next 24 hours or not? Like, you don't have to wait till I'm out of the room to decide, right? It's just in your brain. It's not impolite for you to think, like, I'm not going to do it. You don't even, you know. But just decide right now, am I going to do this between now and noon on Monday? And if you are, decide where you're going to walk, because sometimes that actually slows people down. If you're going to walk to the end of your driveway and back inside, I don't have any judgment on that, but just decide it. Or if you're going to walk all the way to Dollar General and back, you know, whatever. But decide right now, like, where are you going to walk? And what's going to be what I would call the trigger for your walk? What does that mean by trigger? What's the thing that's going to happen right before you walk? So maybe it's like when your kids fall asleep, you're going to go for a walk. Maybe it's when you put the bowl of cereal, like, in the sink, like, then you're going to go for a walk. But decide right now, like, what's the thing that happens right before my walk? This is super basic, petty stuff, right? But I know us. Like, I know good intentions in this room don't always turn into, like, actually getting out there, like, walking. But if right now you're like, oh, man, I'm going to do it as soon as I get that cup of coffee tomorrow, if Aaron's thinking that, then tomorrow, Aaron's going to forget it because the day's busy. But tomorrow when he has a cup of coffee, he's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to go walk to Dollar General right now, or whatever he decided, right? And then he's going to at least have to face it in that moment when he's ready, right? So, okay, that's it for my, like, super practical, without power, just earthly tip, right? final thought, if we can go back to that strawberry stuff, I'll leave you guys with this. So those strawberries are in my yard. My neighborhood, there's a whole bunch of yards. But me and one of my neighbors, I think, are the only people that planted strawberries. And what have I done with the strawberries? Well, about a year ago, my neighbor gave me a bunch of sickly strawberries that she didn't want. And I had room, so I put them in the garden. They didn't do anything. I bought a few extras to put them there, too. They didn't do anything last year. I kept some of the weeds away. You can tell from this picture that it's pretty hard to even tell what's a strawberry plant there. Like, there's a lot of weeds still around. I watered it some. But here's the other stuff that's going on besides my, like, piddly effort. It's like there's a bunch of worms in my garden. There's like a multitude of bacteria and fungus and all this different stuff that's working around the clock, and it produces all these little nutrients that the strawberry plant needs. There's strawberry plants in my garden. They're like the only thing on the whole planet that can make strawberries, right? It's like strawberry plants. There's this ball of plasma like 6 light minutes away, right? That's like bigger than any of us can imagine, really. That's providing all the energy for all those little chemical changes to happen. Like, there's a bunch involved in making that little strawberry for me or Samuel and Sequoia, right? Or for Chrissy. There's just a little bit of pretty petty effort from Jake, and then a whole bunch of stuff that God put in that's pretty magical if you put any thought into it. The verses we read, I went through them pretty quick, but they're right there in your Bible. Jesus is promising that he's going to be with us. Jesus is promising that our life is going to produce something that matters. Jesus is even promising this like insane power of request. And he finally promises that like we will somehow be able to glorify God, which is just also kind of hard to understand. We'll be able to give glory to God if we'll just do this. Like all the power, all the magic, it's in those verses, right? I mean, magic's the wrong word to put on it, right? But like miraculous. Our part is the petty little part of like showing up and going for a walk around our block. But we're opening the door. There's a bunch of yards in my street that have the same elements from God that I described to you. But the humans that live in those other houses, they haven't put a strawberry plant in the ground. They haven't watered it occasionally. They haven't occasionally weeded it. So they don't have any strawberries, right? Like, God is offering this to everybody. You have to choose to show up for the relationship. You have to choose to put yourself into it. Like, we do the small little part, and he does the giant, like, miraculous parts, right? So I want to pray a blessing over you guys to close us out. If you guys will bow your heads. May Jesus be with you every time you open the door to him. And as you remain in him, may you bear much fruit, and may all your desires be things that God can grant because they glorify him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.